Jesus, thank you in your precious name, Lord, that again we come into this wondrous fellowship and, Lord, this precious feasting that you've provided. And, Lord, you're pleased. Thank you. Thank you that we know it, Father, that, oh, you're pleased when we magnify your Son, when we give him the praise, when we give him the glory. Lord, thank you that, again, you've called us and chosen us in you and your Son. Lord, this wonderful, wonderful meeting that we have, Lord God, that we come and, Lord, and just rejoicing, God. And, Lord, we need more rejoicing and more fullness, Lord Jesus, as you put in our hearts, Lord, just expand this vessel to praise you more. You're the one that fills us up and has us overflowing. But, Lord, it's not enough. God, it's within us and all that is within me. And, Lord, increase that which is within me. Lord, that I may even more so praise you, Lord, and thank you for your goodness and your marvelous ways, Lord God, and what you're doing, Father. Oh, what the Father is doing upon those branches. Lord God, without that purging, Lord, without that trimming, without that supplying, Lord God, without your care, Lord, that purpose that you have for us, for your Son, Lord, it would never come forth, this fruit, Lord, for you, and praise God, this abundance for our precious bridegroom. Lord, thank you for the revelation. Thank you for the eyes that see it, because without a vision, the people perish. Lord, thank you that we see with enlightened eyes of understanding because of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, let us pray on and rejoice in that precious faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, God. You'd open your Bibles today to Matthew 22. And we'll swing over to 1 John and Romans 13 and Galatians 5. But we'll begin in Matthew 22. Now, though, this is one of them, and I'm sorry to say this to the attorneys in here, and those that are aspiring, but this was one of the lawyers that was trying to tempt God. But thanks be to God, he already knew what was going on, and I thank God that we have godly lawyers in here. And we have lawyers that, again, all by his grace are fully purposed to win him. Those are treasures, brothers and sisters. Treasures. But this was one that was tempting him. It said, and in the 36th verse, he says, Master, aren't you thankful we say Lord? Which is the great commandment in the law? See, he was just setting him up so he could tell him truth, tell us truth. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You go on over to 1 John 3. Yes, I know a lot of these verses came out on Wednesday night. Can you imagine we're getting a double portion? 1 John 3, 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you see that that's the same as loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind? He fulfilled it all. It's him. Amen, it is. Isn't it wonderful? It's all in my Son. This isn't hard. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. And what? And love one another. As he gave us commandment. Praise God. Then over in Romans 13. Read verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. See what we owe one another? Praise God. To love one another. Praise God. That's a blessing for us, isn't it? For he that loves another hath fulfilled the law. Quit messing around. You see? For this, listen to this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, and there are, It is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love. 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 And there's only one love, and that's the love of God. And God is love. Hallelujah. Now, I've thought many times, and as the Lord brought this to my heart, why has this precious meeting been so abundantly blessed over all these years? I think it's very evident in these verses we've just read. Love. Amen. Amen. There's an evidence. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am bold in, praise God, our precious Lord Jesus. And that's love. People ask me often, still do, lots of different things, but I'll magnify on this one. What made Brother Hill so different? Love. And you know it. Amen? Amen. And sure, and he even admitted this. There were ones that may have known, in a sense, not the truth more, but maybe more scriptures, they could quote more, they might have been a surpassing Bible student in some respects. But it was love and love knowledge by the grace of God that was in Brother Hill that I believe by the grace of God that surpassed them all. And it wasn't a competition, it was just what it was. And it wasn't just in that vessel, it's in all the vessels that are after him, the love of God. Like we say, we can talk about the ones that aren't here. Sister McGuire. Just a vessel of love. Praise God. You could see that. You could see these ones that, I mean, my goodness, they were somewhere else. You know what I'm talking about when somebody's just dumbstruck in love, even naturally speaking. Your buddies, when they fell in love at, you know, 16, 18, 20, whatever it was. Where are you, man? I'm in love. Somewhere else. Don't feel a thing. All I feel is love. But see, this was the mark in David. And this was the mark, praise God, in Paul. The abiding, praise God, in that wonderful vine. The beauty, the love match, as Brother Kev brings out often. I love that, that it is that continual supplying from the vine to the branches. That continual flowing, hallelujah, of that wondrous love of God and how completely the branches are dependent upon the vine. And we said this on Friday, and really this is what it is. God takes pleasure in those that hope in his mercy. I mean, just relish that, appreciate that. The beauty of what God's saying there. The Father has pleasure in them that hope in his mercy. I mean, you think of how cockamamie we get in thinking about what we need to do for God, but yet David brings it right back as he was so full of the love of God, so full of the abundance. Lord, you've just been so good to me. What can I do? And he just said, you know, honey, take of this cup of salvation and drink. Amen? And this is exactly the same thing. Honey, just hope, praise God. Let your hope be in the mercy of the Lord. You know, a lot of people get ashamed to be hoping in the mercy of the Lord. Because that's where the devil, he wants to twist your mind and get you thinking naturally speaking. No, wait a second. I should just be hoping in, you know, my faithfulness to God or how I'm going to hold out till the end. You'll never read that in here. What you read in here is that he delights. And matter of fact, he even tells us again in the Word of God, look to the mercy of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ till he come. I like that. Because you know what? I know I need that. As we were rejoicing, again, I know that, praise God, that mercy, hallelujah, has kept me from everything that I deserve and continues to. But yet also in that mercy, because it's such a double portion in itself too, It's what pours forth the ability, hallelujah, to look to the grace of God to cause me to be the man that I could never be. Can you imagine how much that mercy is before me, behind me, and the hand of mercy is upon my life? Oh, yes, it's marvelous, isn't it? But that's this love. That's, praise God, when we come to the realization and we come to the absolute appreciation that it's all Jesus, that it's all Him, that, Lord, it is only You that needs to be glorified and magnified. Hallelujah. And that's why it's so pressed upon my heart, brothers and sisters, that you know what? Whenever people would see us, whenever people would see any action of us or anything, they would see Him. That they would mark them and know, you know, that person is not just been with, that person is with Jesus. By the grace of God, when I speak and preach the word of God, I do not want people to come and to say, oh my goodness, that man sure knows the Bible. I'm hopeful that that might come across in a sense, but more importantly, I want you to know that this man knows the love of Jesus. I want you to know that, praise God, I'm so thankful beyond. I wish I could tell you how much Jesus loves you. How much He is absolutely, just completely head over heels about you. About this love knowledge that He wants us to come into. That this knowledge between a husband and a wife. That He wants us to be joint heirs. That precious dwelling now as a readied wife with Him. That's the mark of what He wants us to have. And the entire law, as we've read today, that you love one another. Paul said it even to those Thessalonians. He said that your love would increase and abound the more for one another as I do toward you. So Paul was giving them testimony. See, he was trying to express to them, this is what it's about. It's this abounding love. It's this insatiable appetite of love that, praise God, needs to be growing and abounding in our lives. Go on over to Galatians chapter 5 now. And in Galatians 5, 13, it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Hallelujah. Whom He has made free is free indeed. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Praise God. It is love. And yes, by the grace of God, we need to preach the grace and that love that is alive and living and vibrant in those that really want to win Christ as bridegroom. Brothers and sisters, you're looking for change to happen in your life? Love. Faith works by love. The increasing of the Lord in our life is love. Amen? Love, the love of God, is what performs the will of God in us. Love is what motivates us, even naturally speaking, to things that you would never, ever have done. I mean, I testify to that all the time. You know, my brother, he used to tease me that I never would help my mother at all. Even though, I mean, I love and adore my mom. But she just wanted to do everything. Oh, honey, you don't need to clean your room. You don't need to do these things. Now, I know that just, what a rascal. And yes, I am and was. But then, praise God, then I had a first love. And by the grace of God, I wanted to do stuff. And by the grace of God, I still want to do stuff. And I'm telling you truthfully, that ain't my nature in a sense. But then it's not even in my household. It's even in the household of faith. By the grace of God, I love you. And it's not that I just want to serve you, but I can't help but I want to serve you. I do. I can't tell you what the love of God does in a life. You can't function but in His love. It's such a precious testimony. You talk about the reality. Oh, I need to see Jesus. By the grace of God, look at the grace of God that is with the saints. Look at the manifestation of the changing, the transformation that's happening. By the grace of God, I know we're so critical about ourselves. God help us. God help us. That's all the enemy wants you to do, is to get down on you. But sometimes, by the grace of God, you have more love for somebody else. Well, that can actually encourage your life. Say, that's the same life that lives in me. I remember that life. Man, that was a messed up deal. There might even be some messed up things going on right now. And matter of fact, in each and every one of us, there are messed up things going on right now. But the grace of God that is with you, that's what fights your battle. That's what, by the grace of God, holds you fast. That anchor holds in the midst of the storm, doesn't it? Amen. And we're going to have storm upon storm. And matter of fact, the storms are going to increase. I'll give you the weather prediction. It's going to get worse. Because the Word of God said that. If you're not in it to win it, I'm telling you, and I really don't want you to leave, but you better leave. Because it's going to get hotter. I've preached this stuff for 11 years now, and before that I did. But I'm telling you, God has brought me into it. I see it. I experience it. I know this thing now in ways I never saw. His brother is in my office today. I found out what zero is. Zero. That's exactly, hallelujah, where only He can give you strength. Where only He can give you hope. You can't find it. You can't find up. The only thing you ever find is down. But praise God, that's in His faithfulness and the grace of God that He shows you, honey, I'm your praise. I'm getting that He's my praise in a whole different matter. He's the one that even praises in me. Amen? Isn't it His life that lives in me? Or was it you doing that? Oh God, again, Lord, stop me from giving myself one pat on my back. I never want to insult your Son. I know that it is His life that is all the goodness. The only goodness is His life that lives in us. And brothers and sisters, that is the vital reality of it all. It is love. Love is the reality. Love is the sign of the ones that are ready. Amen? The true lovers of the truth are lovers of the brethren. Oh, you can tell me you know the truth, but read there in 1 Peter about being unbarren and unfruitful with your great knowledge. Get in there, understand that. You better know that. We don't have a lot of time. And you're locked up so in the fascination of how much you know, it just surprised you how unbarren snuck up on your life. And there isn't a bit of fruit coming out in all that knowledge. Amen? Come on now, you need the knowledge. Yes, you do. And it's vital for that abundance of fruit. But without the love, it profits you nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And brothers and sisters, matter of fact, this isn't just love we're talking about today. It's insatiable love. I'm thankful by the grace of God I hear this, and it should be such part of our wondrous song of the love of the gospel in our lives. Everybody speaks of the Song of Solomon. We love that book, don't we? We love that precious story. We love that mystery to everybody else that by the grace of God, just know Paul's gospel and it jumps right off the page. That's bridal truth. That is bridal truth. Nothing but, oh, hallelujah, what an evidence and a revelation of it. But I'll tell you this, I challenge you. Between the Shulamite and the bridegroom, it's intoxicating. The levels are so beyond. Come on now. It is such syrupy, gooey, in love stuff that you have got to be in it to get it. Do you understand that? Come on, every one of us have been on that side where we said, oh my, that's just, come on now. You're posting that stuff out there. They're in love. Huh? And you got to be in it to get it. All right? Stay with that thought as we close this up. This is the delirious attitude of the heart of David. He said, my heart pants after him. I'm starting to see this. See, this is why he loved Jonathan beyond the love of a woman, because of the truth. It was because of the truth. Read about Jonathan's life. Wasn't a very long life. But you read about how much he loved the Lord. Read about how he was with that servant. He was just walking up there to see the evidence of the gospel be revealed in his life. You know what? Let's see if God wants us to go down and get some Philistine today. Huh? If they call us in there, we're going to get some. Oh, come on over. See, they thought they were just going to chop them right on up. And I could see, I tell you, you don't need to watch action films. Jonathan was out there, and he's out there in a field, about an acre wide. 20 guys just laying there in pieces. That's awesome stuff. That's the real thing. And then, you know, his dad's out there spouting all this stuff of how they're going to be holy. We can't eat, and we're not going to do this. And Jonathan ate. Read the story. We got to kill him. You know, he went against, how foolish. Jonathan testifying to his daddy just like David did. Amen? The anointing. The anointing. Jonathan had that anointing. David had that anointing. We got that anointing. That's why I can honestly say, you know what? My love and your love for me, it surpasses, can you imagine, the love of a woman. Because that's the love of Jesus. It's the love that's going to be forever. There's no continuing of marriage in heaven. I thank God for my marriage. I love my marriage. But even beyond my marriage, I love my sister in Christ that is running for God's best that I just happen to be graced to dwell with. Huh? Amen. And let me tell you something. That makes your marriage not just better, incredible. Incredible by the grace of God. But that's why some Christians, I'm going to tell you something, they get downright ugly to those that are in love like this. Oh, yes, they do, and you know it. Because, brothers and sisters, think about this. It's almost like you have to be in love to get it. I know that people can be just so ornery, downright ugly. But I do, I pity them. And I'm talking about my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's like, you could have this too. This is what you're supposed to have. And what is happening, you're just allowing the enemy to make you critical. Going back to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 9, you'll find out that she had friends. They were called the daughters of Jerusalem. And they were all, you know, thinking they were going to have a man and all of these different things. But they saw that this Shulamite was in love. And it bugged them. They didn't like it. And they said, now, wait a second. You're just too much in love with it. You know, there's other ones to love. You actually are just too head over heels. You're too much into that guy. How many people sitting here today, their family members have said, you're too much into Jesus? Huh? And if not, maybe you need to get more into Jesus. Maybe your love of Jesus needs to start bothering some people. Or it might not be enough. Huh? Amen? You don't look for it, but it's going to happen. They hated him, they're going to hate you. Getting into that on Wednesday nights. Amen. See, it's a good thing. These are evidences of those that are in love with Jesus. But see, this is what happens. You see, they could not understand her love. They weren't in love like that. So all they could resort to was to be jealous, insulted, whatever it was. And then they begin to insult her. Just like happens in our life. They begin to insult you. They begin to come after you and say, you know, you are too much in love. You are just too much head over heels with this man, Jesus. Need somebody to answer that phone. Okay, we got it. Now, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but this has gone on for years too. I've seen this with men, and I'm hearing it again. Men that love Jesus like that. And they have different ones that will insult them, and even ones very close to them. Well, that's a homosexual thing. It is. It's laughable, criable. But at the same time, I'm telling you this, and this has been going on for a long time. There is no giving of marriage in heaven. There is neither male nor female. Do you even understand this? This is a type that God gives us as human beings that shows us what is the epitome of love that we could ever understand, to even begin to comprehend what this bridegroom and this readied wife is all about. And that's the truth. But see, brothers and sisters, people better wake up. It's time to really wake up, because Jesus is coming. And I'm going to tell you something. Those that will be left behind, and there will be a lot left behind. And by the grace of God, I don't want to be left behind. And I'm telling you, the mark of those that have that knowledge, they're lovers of the brethren. Those are the ones that will not be left behind, that have that perfect love that's complete in their life. Amen. But those that will be left behind, and especially those that will be left behind that know that their loved ones departed. Could you imagine the horror? Could you imagine the sadness, the sorrow? I don't want to imagine that. But the Bible gives us a hint of it as he says that innumerable multitude that missed it stands before him. And the very first thing he has to do is wipe the tear from their eye. By the grace of God, I could never imagine hitting heaven with a tear in my eye. I'm hitting heaven with my arms wide open by the grace of God, and I'm going to embrace him and say, I've won him. That's how, by the grace of God, I'm trusting him, how I'm going to hit heaven, and no other way. I'm going to embrace the one I adore. I'm not going to be remorseful. I'm going to be thankful, full of thanksgiving, and say, Lord, you did it. Your grace that was with me did it. It finished it, hallelujah, for you. That's what this is about. But I'm telling you, don't mock God. If you don't want this thing, don't mock God. Mocking God is a bad place to be. There was a bald prophet that went out there. And these kids, oh, baldy, oh, baldy, oh, baldy. Well, you know what? That bothered God. 42 young boys, 2 she-bears came out and ripped them apart. Now, people don't like to hear that. A lot of people that just have no, let's just call it evil what evil is. Well, I'd never worship a God like that. Right, you don't. I think that would get my attention. I guess it's how you look at it, amen? I'll tell you what. It's serious. And God is not messing around. God wiped out cities. God wiped out young and old. God wiped out men and women. God wiped out children. God wiped out animals. All for the ones he loved. Amen. And you can get as self-righteous as you want. You can say whatever you want to think. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He's God. And one day everybody is going to know that he's God. And it is coming. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord. It will be. It will be. And I know by the grace of God more and more, I am here for one main reason. And that's to speak to people that have an ear. Amen? Oh, yes. I believe it. To sound an alarm, to be one thing, awake. By the grace of God, to be alive, that the time is now. To be in love with the truth. Brothers and sisters, I'm testifying to you. Surrender all. Surrender all. That precious trial that you are in right now, that precious trial by the grace of God, if he tarry, you will be in soon. Surrender all in it. Just surrender all in it. It's not strange. It's not strange. It's for complete surrendering. Ye lovers of the truth. Ye lovers of the truth. Because if anything is held back in our life, if anything, the Father's going to withhold the hand of his Son in marriage to you. And it is the truth. Oh, yes. Only the true, sincere worshipers will have him as bridegroom. The worshiper, the one who draws nigh in fervent love to kiss him. That's the readied wife. And brothers and sisters, don't you care what anybody else is saying about you or talking about you. Men, I'm going to really express this to you right now. Get with it. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Because I'm going to win him. And that's the only way I'm going to win him. He better fill me up with the joy of the Lord, that I'd be that full cup back to him that he'd drink. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again. Just so thankful for your son, Jesus, for this word. Father, for your purpose, your plan, the provision, the power. God, we just thank you again that you deal with us in this height, in this depth. Lord, thank you that you, again, have fully revealed your truth because it's your will. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that causes us to go on to want to hear this. Thank you, Lord, that you're waking us up. And Lord, thank you that you're readying us for your son. Now, Jesus, we just can't wait to see you. We love you so. We say even, Lord, come quickly. But Lord, we know you're there at the right hand. And even more so than we could ever want you to come, I can hear you say moment by moment to the Father, Father, is it time I can go get her? Can I meet her in the air? Lord, I thank you for that passion. Lord, by your grace, let me meet you with the same passion that you have for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.